A plain sense reading of the Bible informs us there will be a Jewish temple during the 7-year Great Tribulation preceding the return of Jesus Christ. Daniel, he wrote about 2,600 years ago, described the yet future world ruler we call the Antichrist. At some point, actually in the very middle of the tribulation, he's going to walk into the temple and declare that he is God and demand to be worshiped. It's called the abomination of desolation in the scripture. Jesus quoted Daniel reiterating these actions, and so we know that he was speaking about a literal temple during that time. The second temple was destroyed around 70 AD, and as most of you know, a Muslim mosque sits on the Temple Mount, or does it? Modern archaeology suggests at least two other sites for the Jewish temple. There's actually four theories about where it actually is. One is that it is where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is, but there are two theories based on ground-penetrating radar and some archaeological information that they got it wrong, and they're not on the Temple Mount, and so you could literally build the Jewish temple and the mosque could exist at the same time. And so a lot of times when people talk about rebuilding the temple, they immediately think that means you have to destroy the mosque, and in fact, we'll see some of that today. But that's not true. If they received permission to worship on the Temple Mount, and they weren't on the temple, it wasn't really where the mosque was, then they could quickly set up a tabernacle like they had in the wilderness. It was a large tent, 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, 15 feet high. Inside, there were two rooms separated by a thick fabric curtain. The larger room was 30 by 15 by 15. That was known as the holy place. It contained an altar on which they burned incense, a lampstand, and a table overlaid with gold for the bread of the presence, they called it, 12 loaves of bread that were changed out by the priest who represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Behind the curtain, there was the smaller of the two rooms. It was a perfect cube, 15 feet square, and it was called the Most Holy Place, or the Holy of Holies. It contained the Ark of the Covenant and the lid, the mercy seat that you see in the Indiana Jones movies. And so now we're storing that somewhere in Nevada, I think, in that big warehouse. But anyway, in 1987, the Temple Institute was founded with the purpose of recreating all of the implements and furniture that was needed to rebuild the temple. And now they've gone even beyond that, and with all the DNA testing that is possible, they've identified the priests who would be and trained them who would be ready to go. And so pretty much everything has been ready for some time, except for one thing. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, God specified that the sacrifice of a perfect red heifer was necessary because they used the ashes of the sacrifice to purify all the articles of the temple. Red heifers who meet all the requirements are extremely rare. Since the time of Moses and the original tabernacle, there have only been 9 red heifers that were needed and found. And the odds of finding a red heifer that is perfect and meets some other requirements laid down by the law are 1 in 50,000. And it's really incredible that right now, today, there are 4 red heifers that qualify all of a sudden. They come from a ranch in Texas, and they are in the Holy Land. And there's chatter that the Jews are planning to sacrifice one of them this Passover season. A few weeks ago, I quoted a Hamas spokesperson who, in a speech condemning Israel and justifying the October attack on Israel that started the current war. Part of what this guy talked about, their spokesperson, one of the reasons, a big reason, they said, was that Israel had brought over the red heifers, and they know that they're planning to sacrifice one, and that means to them that they're trying to take over the Temple Mount. And so where Western journalists miss this because they don't know the history and they don't know their Bible, this is a major reason why Hamas chose right now to go to war against Israel. They feel like they have to stop them before they get too far into their sacrifices. Changing speed just a little, Argentina has a new president. Javier Milei is what I call him. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's M-I-L-E-I. He is beyond being just a supporter of Israel. though not a convert, he's obsessed with Judaism. He has his own rabbi that travels with him. He's often entering campaign events to the sound of a shofar blowing. He spoke about the Maccabees during his inaugural speech, and his inauguration took place on Hanukkah. And so he's very Jewish, but he's a Gentile and is not a convert. Visiting Jerusalem, one of the first things he did after winning the election, he promised that he was going to move the Argentine embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, recognizing it as Israel's true capital. He prayed at the Western Wall, where he genuinely wept among a crowd of supporters. He told a Jewish apocalyptic story about several rabbis who see God's temple destroyed. One of them begins to laugh. His colleagues ask him, "How can you be laughing at such a time as this?" And he says, "There is a prophecy about the destruction that says a fox will break into the Holy of Holies. And there's another prophecy that says the same place will be rebuilt. Now that I see with my own eyes the first prophecy come true, I laugh in joy and full of hope. I know the second prophecy will surely come true." And this incensed the Arab world, and they accused him in their papers of calling for the mosque to be destroyed. And so anytime, Christians do this too, you'll sometimes hear conversation among Christians and they'll say, "Well, you know, the Jews are going to build their temple and that means the mosque has to be blown up and destroyed." And so there's all kinds of scenarios on how that's going to happen. And as I said earlier, that's not true. But the Arabs think, "Hey, we don't want you messing with the Temple Mount, and any talk like that is going to bring war." Temple talk is a strong indicator that we are living in the last days just before the beginning of this seven-year great tribulation. In other words, we read our Bible and we see all of these things, Daniel, Jesus, red heifers, temple, and all, and you see this happening in the world. In Israel, and with all the opposition, they're still doing it, and you think, hey, the Bible is laying the foundation here. This is a scene-setting situation. They're getting ready for the things that we indicate are going to happen in the end times. You can read all about the Great Tribulation in chapter 6 through 19 of the Revelation. Jesus promised the church, you and I who are believers, we would not be here for the Great Tribulation. We're going to be removed before it takes place. He said in Revelation chapter 3:10, "I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." And he's talking about the whole world being involved in a great tribulation. He says, you are going to be removed from it. How does he do that? Well, he raises the dead in Christ, all the deceased saints of the church age, and he raptures, we say, or transforms living believers, and together we go up with him to heaven, where we are safe during those 7 years, getting prepared for coming back with the Lord to rule and reign on the earth. The return of the Lord for us and the resurrection and rapture of the church is imminent, could happen at any time. There is absolutely nothing that needs to happen before the Lord can return. And we see these signs piling up, then we know his return is soon. Are you ready for the rapture? If not, you need to get ready and stay ready and keep looking up, because ready or not, Jesus is coming.